Welcome to a homegrown family podcast where we grow the produce and the kids.
Welcome to a homegrown family podcast. In this podcast, we discuss a bunch of different stuff, and I'd really like to put it into two different categories. The first being homegrown, where we talk about any topics related to gardening, orchard work, and basically anything that falls in the category of homesteading. Some husbandry, raising animals and things like that. There's a second part, a homegrown family, where I focus on some historical context and contents within my family specifically. And one of my goals of this podcast, as I kind of mentioned in the intro, is to capture some different memories from previous generations, my grandparents, my parents. But I also would like to share some of my story along the way. Another part of the family component is like homeschooling and parenting. And well, I'm pretty new at both of those. And so I haven't done any type of homeschooling yet, as I only have one child. And it's about 2.5 years old. And last part I want to mention here was that I just want to point out, as the title suggests again, that it's a homegrown family. It's not the homegrown family. It's not the perfect homegrown family. It's just my family, and each family is unique, and I'm simply sharing some facets of ours. So today, let's dive into it. So on a previous episode, I had my Aunt Joni talking about her experience homeschooling her children. And so they have all graduated now and have moved forward in their lives, having children, getting married, and the sorts. Just living life. And well, as my wife and I contemplate the idea of homeschooling our kids, which for sure it's like a 90 to 10% ratio at this point in time, that's probably going to happen. But, some people might be able to sway our perspective on the matter. And so in this episode, I'm changing the perspective a little bit, and I'm going to be interviewing a good friend of mine and his wife, Jake, was homeschooled and is now a successful member and contributor to society. At least, I think so. So I introduce to you today my first non-family member guest, Jacob 70, and his wife, Michelle.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having us. I'm excited to be here. Very honored to be the first non-family member. Calling me successful might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me, so we should do this more often.
Just wait. It's getting better. I have a note in here on my piece of paper here that says, Jake is a friend of mine, and I met him while living in Yakima, Washington. Well, some of my listeners think, well, isn't this a Midwesterner type of focus? Well, I grew up in the Midwest, and I did end up in Washington at some point, and that'll be a topic for another time. But I just want to preface this episode with the fact that Jake is one of the most sarcastic and quick-witted people I know, and I'm very fortunate that I have met this man. How does that make you feel? Pretty good?
I'm glad we got that caveat in there. Now I feel like I have to live up to something here. Maybe I'll just be nice just to shake it up a bit.
Hey, well, you told me to put you on the spot.
Fair enough.
So I moved over to Yakima, Washington, and it wasn't long after I arrived there that I was attending Mass there at the Catholic Church and the Catholic Cathedral there. And that's pretty much how I met Jake, is one day I met him at Mass, and the next thing you know, I'm bumping into him at the house called The Haven. At different Bible study events, bonfires and things like that. Yeah, Jake, you want to elaborate a little bit on how our meeting occurred?
That's true. I think we had a couple events. I was helping out with kind of the young adult ministry, trying to get a group together in Yakima of different Catholic young adults that just wanted to explore their faith, between Bible studies, different conversations, but mostly just develop a community. And I think because of that, Joe and I kind of hit it off pretty quickly in that sense of just both being young men trying to figure out what we wanted to do and what it meant to be Catholic as adults. I think we were both pretty fresh out of college relatively. And so it was the life of, okay, now what? In college, I feel like it's a lot easier to find different communities and different groups that you want to spend time with. And then in the working world, it's a lot harder and it's more difficult to find people of those shared interests and figure what that looks like. So I think we bonded over that pretty quickly. We did different events, outdoor stuff, video games, and just honestly just football. I think football was the other thing we really bonded over. And I still do have not to offend too many of his listeners, but I still do have a picture of Joe in a Seahawks jersey that I hold over his head every so often.
At heart, I am born and raised a Vikings fan, and I kind of figured you'd throw that in there at some point, And I'm not embarrassed. That was my time in Washington when Russell Wilson and was it Tyler Lockett were actually probably halfway decent. So, they gave a good run for the money, and I'm pretty sure the Vikings were way out of the playoffs at that point. So Well, you know, they say, hey, it's good luck. Put the jersey on. You do what you got to do for a beer. Okay. So I remember meeting Jake, and, you know, as far as individuals that can homeschool can be awkward or socially distant, you know, or something like that. But I met Jake, and you know what? That was not the case with Jake. He wasn't like somebody I walk up to and was like, oh, wow, he's definitely homeschooled. Like, it was not the case. I could not tell he was homeschooled. I think one time he did tell me, I was like, wait, what? So he doesn't meet that misconception whatsoever.
I fake it well.
Fake it well. So that's what we're going to kind of do today, is we're going to talk a little bit more about Jake and his upbringing being homeschooled. And then we're going to kind of jump into some different misconceptions of the homeschooling community and kind of go back and forth with Jake and I on there on that. So take it from here, Jake, and share a little bit more about yourself, your family, where you grew up, things like that.
Sounds good. So I am born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, in the middle of Washington State. My family roots are actually from the Midwest. My grandpa was born in Manitoba and grew up in Red Lake Falls, Minnesota. So I actually spent some time out there as well, much as I love to give Joe a hard time. That's
I think I just heard of Manitoba. Pretty Midwestern.
But again, so born and raised out here in the beautiful Northwest. I'm the oldest of 8 children. I'm cradle Catholic. And all of us, to kind of get to the point, all of us have had homeschooling, different experiences, different times, and we had a lot of conversations about that. From my personal experience, I did a year of Montessori. I spent 4 years, grades 1 through 4, at Catholic private school. And after that, my parents decided that they had some concerns about the quality of our education and the things that were being taught, even at a Catholic private school. And so we decided to start homeschooling in 5th grade. And then from then on, my personal experience, I was homeschooled 5th grade all the way through high school. A bit of a caveat with the high school education part of it is in Washington State, we have a program called Running Start, where you can take college credit classes at the local community college to get your AA coming out of high school, which I believe you guys mentioned in a previous episode is an option. So I was able to take my more classical classes while taking them at the community college as well. Even though I personally did not end up with my AA, I had the ability to. So in summary, that was just kind of my experience. So I never had a public school experience, but I was able to compare and contrast the private school versus homeschool experience a little bit.
Yeah, so that's Jake's educational experience in a nutshell. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that here. But that was just a first thing from K-12. What'd you do after college?
Yeah, so after again, most people have the experience to get their AA degree during community college. I did not have a lot of luck, partly because my advisors, partly because I didn't do the proper research getting my AA. But after I did that, I transferred to the University of Idaho, go Vandals. And I studied civil engineering and got my bachelor's there. After that, I worked as an engineer for 4 years back here in Yakima, Washington. And then I had another additional educational experience when I decided to enter a Catholic seminary. Spent 3 years at University of St. Mary of the Lake, also known as Mundelein Seminary, near Chicago, Illinois. Discerned out of the seminary in 2020 and came back to being an engineer again once in Yakima. So I've bounced around quite a bit. And yeah, had a lot of different educational experiences. Again, also during that time at seminary, I was able to get my master's in philosophy and religion. So I have had more education than a normal person, none of it by my own will.
Fair enough. My wife and I, Nora, joke around a little bit every once in a while when we think of Jake 70. And that's because, so we got married in 2020, about the time that Jake discerned out. And at the time of our wedding, he was a server at our wedding. And I think he was in the midst of that discernment, you know. And I remember asking the question, you know, how's it going, you know, whatever. And I think you said to me, it was either at our wedding or shortly after, you said, you know, Joe, what you just found is what I always wanted. And so Nora and I joke that it's because he attended our wedding that he's married now today. So welcome, Michelle.
Well, thank you.
I do remember that, and I remember your wedding being a very inspirational and a joyful time for me, and I've always valued your friendship. I guess it's horrible to get it upon the public record, but no, you guys were an inspiration, and I really did appreciate you inviting me and letting me be part of that.
Well, it was great to have you, Jake.
Yeah.
And so we're talking homeschooling here, and part of the reason we're talking about homeschooling is because I kind of look up a couple stats to sound professional here, everybody, but the National Center for Education Statistics says that roughly 3% of students from ages 5 to 17, which is basically equivalent to K through 12, were homeschooled in 2019, prior to COVID. So Jake just turned out of the seminary during COVID. Nora and I got married during COVID, had to wear all the masks and all that good stuff. So 3% of kids in the United States were basically homeschooled before COVID. After COVID, actually in the midst of COVID, in the fall of 2020, almost 11% of households reported some type of homeschooling. 11%, 1 out of 10, basically. I'm sure it went down a little bit since there's less school closures and distancing and all that type of stuff. You could probably say pretty handedly that there's at least 5% of individuals that are probably homeschooled. That's kind of why we're discussing a little bit of this, but also to kind of give a better idea of like what it all entails and everything. So let's get into some of the details. So, Jake, you were obviously homeschooling or getting homeschooled prior to COVID, like way prior, you know, before it became popular. And Jake could probably argue that he's probably the reason it became popular. But
only part.
Yeah. So we kind of talked a little bit about what homeschooling looked like for you, but how is it structured? You know, you started off after fifth grade, basically fifth grade and onward pretty much. And what did that look like for like on a daily day-to-day basis? And there wasn't quite as much online opportunity as there is now, but maybe you can elaborate on like, yeah, what it all involved for you.
Yeah, so I noticed in your previous episode, you guys talked a bunch about several of the different curriculums available. And I know, so for my parents, a big priority was a Catholic education. They wanted a Catholic and classical education. And nothing against the private school I was at. It was a very good school, and it was a Catholic school, but they had some concerns, especially when it's hard to always, you know, find teachers who are Catholic and who live their faith. And I mean, that's just a challenge anywhere. Just, I think finding teachers, period, is a challenge right now in our current climate. So we looked at a couple different programs, and my parents did a lot of different research. I know you guys mentioned Seton in the previous episode and a couple other ones. But what we ended up choosing was Colby Academy. You hadn't mentioned that before, but Colby Academy is based out of California, and they're a classical education program. And so what we ended up doing is we chose Colby, and so they would send us the textbooks, they would give us a schedule, the curriculum, they would send us everything. We would have, my mom would grade it, she would send it back, they would compile it all, and then they would send us like the degrees and provide all the certifications. So along with that, they would give us the certification so that we could turn that into the school district every year. I don't remember what the tests needed were to meet the different requirements, because I think there was like a fourth grade test, but I'd been to private school, so I'd passed that. Usually we just basically had to go once a year into the school district, say, hey, we're being homeschooled, here's the list of what we're doing, and they would sign off on it. I'm sure some school superintendents or areas would give us more of a hard time, but ours was mostly just, okay, that looks great. They would sign it, and we would all move on with our lives. The way the program worked, though, it was send us a degree at the end, and they would handle all the certification stuff as long as we were able to submit our tests, our homework, and show that we were actually doing the work.
You did the Colby Academy all through, from fifth all the way through graduation?
Yes.
And it's kind of like an all-encompassing program. I know you talked about in the previous episode here about picking and choosing certain things. Was there anything in the Colby Academy, you know, curriculum that your parents thought were lacking and so they supplemented with other material?
Actually, that was exactly what I wanted to talk about. Colby was open to, especially once I got to high school age and with the Running Start program, to us substituting other classes for our credits. They didn't tie you in and say you had to do their classes. They were open to, okay, you're sending us the class through the college, it's certified. They would allow that for their credit. So I'm an engineer. I've always loved math and science. So without tooting my own horn a bit, like I got ahead in the math program. And so my last couple of years, I was taking college level math that they didn't offer through Colby, and they accepted that for my math credits. My last 2 years, I was doing all my classical stuff. The Colby Academy, I was doing, you know, literature, English, history, but I was taking all my math and science at the community college. And they were okay with that. I would just send the credits in, and they compiled it all with my high school degree. So I was able to kind of balance that out. Especially with that, as we got older and into high school, my mom really struggled if I was struggling with math and science. So having a professor and having a class that could actually teach me was better. Because, again, for literature or history, it's usually, okay, you read the book, you look at the answers, and she could kind of talk you through that and do some research. For math and science, my mom is very intelligent, but she really struggled. And, I mean, even looking back myself now, I'm not sure how much without her I could teach, and I did it. You know, I took those classes.
No, I agree. That's kind of one of the things I think about when I think about homeschooling is like, okay, I'm pretty competent in science, you know, pretty much biology and physiology and things like that are all part of what I currently do a little bit today. But when it comes to, like, I think of, like, pre-calculus or calculus or some algebra, I used to be really good at algebra, you know, but, like, I'd probably be able to do y equals mx plus b, you know, and Sokotoa and some stuff like that, but after that, I'm kind of like, you know, when I get juniors, seniors on the curriculum, I'm like, I don't know if I'd be much help. And so that does worry me a little bit when we're thinking about the possibility of homeschooling our children. It makes me almost think that maybe we'd homeschool till ninth grade and then, you know, let them loose after that type of thing. I'm not sure really what exactly we're thinking, but it's one of the things that does cross my mind.
That was actually one thing that I appreciated that my parents were also able to help out with is even before I started taking some of the college level courses, we had friends and we had community that they were willing to reach out to. And so I think your aunt kind of Joni had talked about that with like the idea of a co-op and having different people teach the classes. So I remember as I started to get into more advanced math, we had a friend, his name was Shay. I won't give his last name, but shout out to him. He was studying math. I think he had his degree, his bachelor's in math. And so my mom was like, hey, can you help tutor? And so I would take my classes, I would take, you know, my homework and go, and if I needed help, I would say, hey, can we sit down and meet up and talk it through? And he would guide me through it, and, you know, he gave me his old calculator, which I still have today. Like, it's just cool stuff like that. So when we had those issues, my parents being able to reach out to community members and say, hey, can you spend an hour or something a week tutoring and just kind of filling in the gaps? And that was really helpful. And you also get exposed to a lot of different learning styles and teaching styles of people. And I think that was something that I really appreciated, especially for being homeschooled. It was sometimes a tough transition when I got to college, going from being mostly, okay, you read the book, you absorb it, and you do the homework to, okay, you have to learn a different style. You have to learn from the teacher, and being able to ask questions has never been something I've been very good at. I want to struggle through it on my own. I think those are the habits I learned rather than going and being open to asking questions and relying on somebody else.
Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the biggest benefits, maybe not the biggest, but it's one of the benefits of being homeschooled is that you can reach out to the community or maybe you're more obliged to or more inclined to because you don't have a teacher there every single day that your kid can go and come in early to school for a half hour and learn some stuff, you know, some tutoring perhaps. For the most part for you, it was not necessarily homeschool groups or like co-ops and stuff is more like individual tutoring type stuff?
Yeah, so there was a co-op up in Yakima. So my family's about 20, 30 minutes south of Yakima in a little smaller town. There was a co-op nearby that met in Yakima as the bigger city, quote-unquote bigger city. But we tried it a couple times, but we never really felt like that was kind of what we're looking for. And one of the other reasons we had actually left private school is it was tough on mom driving us up in the morning, you know, 20 minutes up, drop us off, go back home, and then come out in the afternoon, pick us up. And so, you know, she'd spend a couple hours driving then. It was just a lot, especially on the younger kids being that much in the car. We mostly did it on our own. And again, our style wasn't as much teaching. It was more, yeah, here's the books, here's the curriculum. You read it on your own, you kind of go at your own pace. And then mom was, in a lot of ways, almost the enforcer, like, okay, where are you at on your studies? Did you get your homework done? And keeping us on task so we didn't delay too long into the summer, which happened some years that your summer length was dependent on how strict you were in keeping to your schedule during the normal year.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty common for a lot of homeschooling families, is that it kind of extends into the summer a little bit. That's probably because they took an extended Christmas break, or you have a couple of three-day weekends here. We went and did other things. I think that's one of the things that Nora and I kind of like. It's like, hey, her mom was a science teacher, so not that I'm not inept in science by any means, but she's done that professionally for, you know, 30 years or whatnot, and hey, we could go do a long weekend, and one of the things that my mother-in-law really nerds out about is geology. Like, you go to the Grand Canyon, you go someplace else, she's taking pictures of the rocks. Sorry, Rondi, I just had to throw that in there, because last time she gave me a little bit of crap or something about mentioning something about her in a podcast, so. But she could totally be an asset in our situation where let's go do a four-day weekend, or hey, Nora hasn't been to the Grand Canyon, and let's go and make that like kind of a learning experience. So that's pretty cool, I think.
No, for sure. And that was one of the things we really benefited from, as my parents own their own business. So when we wanted to take time off, we had that freedom to go and take our books and go and do those things.
Yeah, and it actually kind of goes kind of hand in hand with Joni on the previous episode here, too, is that she had stayed mostly at home, was doing some piano teaching lessons and things, and my uncle, he was a trucking business, so they almost oftentimes went to the truck and went down to Florida, you know, or whatever, and did the whole thing. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I definitely see that as a perk and a benefit to homeschooling. So, kind of switching gears here a little bit, and I'd say one of the biggest reasons, at least for fathers, and Nora kind of alluded to this or called me out on it here this last episode, but I'm going to pose kind of the same question to you. Fathers, and maybe the mothers too, are worried that their kids won't get to play sports. I mean, this day and age, sports is such a big thing. You know, NFL players are held up on a pedestal. It's too much, in my general opinion. But the importance on sports is quite high, and some of the places that have some of the best education systems, I think Nora would know this if she was on, but Scotland or something like that, that basically prioritize education over sports. And their education scores are like way better than the United States. And maybe it's Switzerland. Anyways, comparatively, the United States puts so much focus on the sports. So were you involved in any public school sports or extracurriculars? If so, what? And how's that transition looking, or how's that changed from you to your siblings?
So for me, I did a little bit of cross country in middle school, but that was kind of the extent of my athletics. And part of that, I think it's funny, you talk about me being super social, and I don't see myself that way, especially when I was younger. I struggled with that a lot more, and I don't know if it was a lack of confidence or it was more maybe being more of a snob because of my education, because I knew I was doing something different. I always kind of struggled to interact. And so part of me wishes, looking back, that I had been pushed to do more sports and everything. But especially in high school, it was a very challenging curriculum, and there was a lot of work. It was a lot of reading. It was a lot of assignments, especially once you added on the classes at the community college. So I spent a lot of time, I was mostly just studying and doing a lot of the schoolwork. And looking back, I wish I had taken more time to do other things and maybe been challenged to kind of get outside my comfort zone and spend time with people. On that note, it's interesting seeing my younger siblings who are still homeschooled. My little brother, again, he played his last couple years of high school. He was able to participate at the local high school, and he played football and track and really thrived with both of those things. And so it was good to see him be able to kind of find that balance and make friends and hang out with people and do those experiences. And both him, yeah, and my younger sister have both really enjoyed doing the sports at the local high school and making those friends. And they've seemed to both catch on to it really well. It's been a bit of a challenge, I'm not going to lie, going from, you know, being more family focused and being more in the school, but they've both really been able to enjoy that experience. And again, honestly, I think, okay, does bullying, do cliques happen in schools? Sure. But I think most kids, if you're willing to reach out, are willing to accept you and figure it out. Especially, I don't know, maybe it's my bias, but I think the Northwest, we're very good at just accepting people for how they go.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
We can't all grow up in Swanville, but you know,
you can't all grow in a population of 350.
Yeah.
yeah, where everybody knows everybody?
If I can elaborate a little bit more, too, I think it's going to depend on the child, though, and what their learning style is. And I really appreciated how your Aunt Joni talked about that in the last episode. One of her children, they really had to listen, like, hear things rather than read. They weren't much of a reader, but they liked to, like, orally, like. And I've talked to different friends, different communities, and again, you've talked about, like, yeah, I know some homeschoolers that really do struggle socially, and I know some that they're just those natural type of people that just fit in. Like, one of my buddies, we grew up about half a mile away from each other. He was also homeschooled, but he's just one of those personalities that he walks into the party, and he's the life of the party, and he was able to play sports at the same time, and he made all these friends, and that was just who he was, and that was just how he did it. And even though he was homeschooled, he still managed to make those connections. And some people really need that social connection. Some people are going to have that. Some kids are going to prefer to stay at home. Or maybe they need to be pushed. It's going to be the balance, you know, what the learning style is. Do you learn better on your own? Do you need a teacher? Especially with my siblings. Some of us have been really good at, we set our own schedule. Okay, I know what I need to get done, and they're done by noon, and they spend the rest of the afternoon, you know, doing whatever they enjoy. Some of us, of course not me, procrastinate and wait and start the homework at 10 p.m. and stay up all night getting it all done at the last minute. And it was really interesting watching my mom try to adapt those styles for each one of us. And, you know, when did she need to just be supportive? When did she need to be the enforcer and crack down and say, no, you need to sit down and do this? Reading the books out loud. Some kids need that. Some kids, you know, need to just be told, okay, you just need to get it done. And, you know, who's the perfectionist? Who's the one that needs, you know, I think it really does depend on the child and figuring out what your learning style is. And I think that's one of the benefits that homeschooling can provide, is to more personalize it, that you just can't get in a public school. But also, one of the things I noticed that you mentioned in a previous episode, too, is I've heard of homeschooling families where their homeschooling was, okay, well, you're just going to work around the farm and work around the house for a couple of years. And as much as I know you want your kids all, you know, your free labor, Joe, you're probably not going to have that ideal.
Hey, not all of us live in the Pacific Northwest, okay?
You had the chance to
raise them ourselves. Interesting point, though, because, you know, in a public setting in the school, you have classrooms of 15 to 30 kids, maybe even. You really can't specialize or teach class while still being that unique individual touch to it, I guess you could say. And then I think one thing I wanted to comment on, too, was that you said there's quite a big difference between you and your siblings and how it's kind of panned out. And, well, I'd like to say that, you know, Jake was probably the guinea pig, being the first one. So, you know,
for sure.
Parents live and learn and kind of figure it out, you know. And going into homeschooling, you know, there are a lot of preconceived notions of, like, hey, we can just, one parent can stay at home, we can teach our kid, they only work in the classroom for 2-3 hours a day, and this and that. And, well, sometimes, depending on your kid, you know, might have to sit down for total, you know, more time, you know. So,
I can tell you that some of my siblings, there would be meltdowns. They would get overwhelmed and they would procrastinate. And sometimes that 3 hours is just sitting and going over the same thing over and over again until they're actually willing to get in that headspace. Yeah. And sometimes that 3 hours, they could get a full week's worth of work done in one day. And some days it took the whole week just to get, you know, the first day's assignments done.
And part of it too, Jake, is that, you know, as 7 to 13-year-old boys, you know, like speaking to you and I here, that we're not meant to sit in a classroom for, in a desk, you know, for 5-6 hours a day and then wait for the recess period or, you know, wait for Phi Ed finally, you know, and go in bursts of that. You know, sometimes you sit 3 periods at a time, you know, 50 minutes, watch your class, watch your desk or walk to your locker, you know, for 50 minutes, watch your locker, 50 minutes. You know, that's literally 3 hours of just sitting on your bum and trying to learn something. And from talking to people, it sounds like that's a benefit to homeschooling, is that you can do 2 hours in the morning, go, you know, do some other things, you know, you can go out in the community and use like a volunteer type of learning also. I mean, that's all good social activities that people can do as a homeschooler that they don't necessarily get built into their curriculums as a non-public school individual or private school, I guess you could say, too. The way the education system is built, you know, works for many, but not everyone.
It's just the nature of the beast, too. If you have to process that many people and you have a certain amount of goals, people are going to get lost in the shuffle, right? And I think that's just the unfortunate reality. I think it works great for a lot of people, and I've seen benefits. I've seen public schoolers that I think turned out way better than homeschoolers and vice versa. Some of the negative effects of homeschooling I can see are some parents are not cut out for it. Some parents really struggle to teach. Or, like I said, some people, their homeschooling was they worked around the house for a year. Or, you know, a parent that's very focused on, oh, I'm really comfortable teaching this, but I'm not comfortable teaching this. And so they skew their curriculum one way and kind of miss out on the fundamentals of other things. Again, does that probably happen in public school too? Oh, yeah, 100%. But just having that awareness, that's what I think I really liked about us having a curriculum that was very set and having, here's the specific things you need to meet. And I really liked that balance of it.
Yeah, and that's kind of leads into that other misconception that parents aren't qualified to be teachers. You know, what do you say to that?
Some aren't. I would agree.
So maybe it's not quite a misconception because it's not always the case where they are teachers. Some of them, you know, just can't do it, you know. But I don't know if that's the majority or not. You know, I don't know if people say that's like a reason not to homeschool. If you try it and it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But one would argue maybe perhaps that every parent is qualified to some degree because they teach their kid how to eat food. They teach their kid how to walk. They teach their kid how to drive a car. They, you know, they teach their kids all the time. So maybe it's just that certain parents aren't teachers or good teachers in certain subjects, you know, like you're saying. And then you have avenues in which you can fine-tune those things.
We all have something to teach, right? Like they say, you can't really know something until you're able to teach it. But I mean, I think even, I'm probably going to get in trouble now that I'm recording too, but I think it's John Paul II that talks about like the parents, you are the first teachers. You are called to be, you know, the teachers of your children, like the first teachers the children will have. So I think on some level, your kids are going to learn something from you, whether you intentionally mean it or not. And I think also one of the benefits that, to acknowledge with homeschooling is, or just one of the blessings I've received, is my family had the ability to do so. I know a lot of families, if you're working, if both parents are working, you don't have that freedom, or it can be more expensive. You know, private school or homeschooling can be more expensive than public school. So just being able to have the time to teach your kids or the finances to do these additional resources, that can be a challenge. And so the reality is you just don't have time, or you're working nights. And even if you're around, you don't have the patience, or some kids are more trying than others. Like my parents will never admit that they have favorites, but I know that some of us were more difficult to raise than others. Like, and I'm sure in your family, you've kind of seen that as well.
Grumpy one, the talkbacker, you know, the sarcastic one, you know, yeah, you got a little mix in there. Yeah.
I don't want to pick on Lawrence too much, but you know, he knows who he is in the family.
He'll say, how do you know I was talking about him? Oh, funny. So Michelle is sitting here next to Jake. We kind of talked about a couple of different things. I just want to get your thought on a component to this. We kind of talked about it a little bit, but you know, one of the misconceptions about homeschooling is that kids are socially awkward. Talking prior to this episode, you know, that you had some siblings who were homeschooled. You're going to kind of talk about that, but I also want you to talk about your impression of Jake.
My impression of Jake.
First met him, was he just a socially butterfly?
No. No, I've known Jake since he was 16, and no, he was not. I think my personal experience with homeschooling was, I was not built for homeschooling in the traditional sense. Like if Jake was sitting there and talking about his experience with homeschooling and I read all by myself and it was wonderful and it sounded like a literal nightmare to me, because when I did homeschooling, it wasn't just the self-motivation that I struggled with, but it was the complete sense of isolation and not doing it with anybody. I mean, I had two of my siblings, but they were in different grades, and the program that we did was we would be given a curriculum for the month, and then we would go to the school. It was a homeschooling program, and check in with our teacher or sponsor, whatever it was. They would go over all the curriculum, make sure we did everything, kind of touch in with us, and then send us home with another month of the curriculum. And there were 90% of the months when the last week before we had to turn it in, I was sitting there working through everything because I could not, without a room full of people, motivate myself to do anything because I always felt like I was missing out on something. So in high school, when I went back to school, all of a sudden I was sitting there in a room full of people doing work. And I was like, this is what I needed. I needed a room full of people around me to be doing my work. I know that there are some people who definitely really thrive in being able to not deal with everybody else and just do their own thing. And I really enjoyed having community and people around me and feeling like we were all banded together, all doing the same assignment, all together. And that was my experience with homeschooling. And I mean, Jake, I think the one benefit was that when you did homeschooling, that even though his community was not school motivated and school based, that he still had community and he still had people around him. So he was self-motivated enough to do the schooling on his own. And then he had the community that would, you know, teach him about the world and how to be a normal-ish human being. I mean, they tried as hard as they could, but
I think he turned out all right.
He was fine, you know. It did take us 15 years to get together because he really, you know, you needed to work on it. So,
so it's all, sometimes it's all the timing, you know, it's either wrong person or the right person, wrong timing. Yeah. It's a little bit different perspective there. I didn't really think about the fact that some people just need others around you, like camaraderie in the challenge and the struggle. Right.
Well, I will have to say my younger siblings, because I'm the oldest of seven, there's a 13-year gap between me and the youngest. So the youngest siblings did homeschooling again. My family all lives down in San Diego, and I was living in Washington State at the time, so I didn't know why the decision was made. I just know they were now homeschooling again. And the difference was that they also had other Catholic families that they were close to who were also homeschooling. And there were some parents who had strengths in some subjects that other parents wouldn't. And they would have two of the days that they would all get together as a group. And they still fondly talk about, oh, yeah, you know, Mrs. So-and-so taught us this. And, you know, we did this project. And I will say, even though I was very out of school by that point in time, I still looked back with a lot of jealousy because I was like, I feel like I could have homeschooled like that. If you had given me a group of people and a semblance of school, I could have done it like that. I was in a garage with my two siblings.
That seems to kind of be a running thing, is that there needs to be some kind of community, whether it's a community for homeschoolers or a community within a public school or private school setting, or a really tight-knit family that's totally down with just that being their community, you know? One of the misconceptions I read about homeschoolers, too, is that, oh, homeschoolers are just for the families that have a stay-at-home mom. Oh, and that's the reason they homeschool, because they can't. Or it's because of faith-based things, which, in our instances, you know, the faith definitely plays a large factor. But you kind of alluded to the fact that maybe you have bad school situations, right? Maybe you have bullying happening around the, you know, the school, and your kid's involved, and so take them out. Maybe your kid doesn't learn in the fashion that which the public school or private school is providing. So you gotta reel that in and really help out your child. There's definitely many other reasons apart than other religious or one of the parents stay at home. So
my dad was a convert when I was in middle school. So growing up, they were missionaries at one point in time and over in Africa. And so, well, what are you going to do for school there? Even my dad has experience with homeschooling, but obviously, you know, we think it's different between us and now that everything is online. I mean, it was drastically different, you know, 40 years ago. Well, more than 40 years ago, like 50 years ago, because he was sitting there and everything would get mailed all the way over to Africa. And his mom would sit there and have these lessons, and they would have to put together all the lesson plans and then send them all the way back to the United States and figure it all out. And that's what just everybody was doing. There was a school apparently with the missionaries, and some of the kids were in the school, but my grandma wanted it to remain consistent because they were only doing it temporarily. And so for a year, they homeschooled in Africa.
Oh, awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, Michelle. Don't go anywhere yet, though, because I'm going to kind of bring this full circle here. I kind of want to briefly mention the other misconceptions that we kind of touched about a little bit, Jake, already. And one being is that homeschooled kids can't function in the real world. Well, I mean, there's many, many examples out there that say that they can, right? And I think that there's even opportunities to better teach a homeschooled individual, you know, how to balance a checkbook, for example, even though it's kind of like out of date, you know, or like how to properly manage credit cards. A lot of those home ec types programs got cut, you know, in public private schools. So there's many things you can say that, hey, homeschooled kids could probably do better in the real world in certain aspects. And we talked about that opportunity for volunteering and being more involved within the community. That is real world, right? Another misconception was homeschooled kids don't learn as well. That's everywhere you go. There's certain kids, and we talked about how it's kid-specific, you know, and homeschooling can provide that customization to individual kids, and there's perhaps better online opportunities provided to a homeschool. Like, you can pick and choose what curriculum you want. Which is a public school, you go there, and that's what they're teaching is what you get. Both avenues of schooling do provide a lot of post-secondary options, too, as well. So that's pretty neat. To kind of wrap it up, Jake and Michelle, you know, who knows what our futures hold, but do you think you two would end up homeschooling?
I honestly have no idea. Like I said before, I think it's really going to depend on the personality of the child and where we end up and what the school system has available, whether it's private school, public school, what the options are. Because of my experience and because of the benefits I think I've gotten, I want to be very involved in the education. Even if it's public school, I want to know the teachers. I want to know what's going on. So I can see myself going either way, honestly. It's not something we've talked about a ton yet, so.
It's something we've talked about a bit, and I think that there's definitely a lot of benefits to homeschooling, and I think homeschooling is something that I would be open to and enjoy, but I don't think that, especially based on my experience and the experience that I saw with my siblings, I think the ultimate way that would be homeschooling would still be in a community of people and in a group of people, if for nothing else, because I know that I don't have all the strength on my own to be able to teach everything on my own. I don't have, you know, all the patience either. And I think there's something to be said about being able to, like Jake said, he was able to learn all the different teaching styles from people. And just for the sake of knowing how to learn from other people, like, for example, my mom, when she tried to answer questions about math, I never understood what she was explaining to me, but my sister always did, because the way that my mom and my sister understood math was very similar, but I understood math like my dad. So if I ever had a math question, I would take it to my dad. And so I think getting in as controlled of an environment, as much input as you can, I don't think that there's necessarily any harm in that.
So what I'm hearing is pretty fluid and situational. It kind of depends on a lot of different factors. And I think that should be the way for anybody that's thinking about homeschooling, is that it should be very situational, because just because you want to homeschool really, really badly, but you're in an awful town situation or situation where you have no support, you know, no matter how hard or how much you want to homeschool, it might just not be a good idea.
And you don't have to lock in with, like, if one kid's doing it, everybody doesn't necessarily either. Mm-hmm. Because I've had friends that, you know, two of them did homeschooling, and then one of them said, I really want to go to high school, public high school, and they did. And then they homeschooled one, and they said, like, it can alternate, it can vary depending on the child's desires, too. A little bit out there, but this is something I definitely wanted to touch on as well. This wasn't my personal experience, but I think especially with online, and especially after 2020, the options for homeschooling online have really amplified, and the options that weren't there when I was in school. But I've seen from my younger siblings, the last four especially, in high school, they've been able to take classes online that are actually taught. So Colby Academy, I feel like I'm a poster, you know, promoting them, but I did have a good experience. But they actually had teachers, and they would have online classes where the teachers would have the different subjects, especially when in the high school where it's getting more complicated and my mom kind of struggled sometimes to teach us. They would offer online classes, and so they got to participate in a classroom experience with kids all over the country. And one of the cool things that I've really seen my siblings benefit from is, besides having professors to teach, is having these classmates that they've become friends with. They do different activities. They would do like a talent show, or they would have different activities. Everything's online, but they would get to know these kids and develop real friendships. So Like my siblings went to DC a couple years ago to meet in person these classmates that they'd had for several years. You know, my sister went and they visited a couple college campuses with people they'd met online. So they've been able to develop these real friendships. Again, is it online? We talk about virtual friendships, but still talk to these people that they've talked to, communicated with, video chatted with, but then being able to develop that into a real world friendship where they met up and they visited each other is really cool because now they have all these friends all over the country. And that's a really cool benefit that I've really seen them really enjoy and thrive with.
That's awesome. And in the future, it's always a place to crash when you're on vacation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely going to utilize Jake in that fashion at some point in my life again.
We've crashed with each other a decent amount already, so.
That's true. That's true. But no, I've got a work conference over in Seattle next year, so around this time of year, actually. So hoping to maybe you guys can come meet us up and do the whole Mount Olympus thing or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I do want to go to that while I'm there. So I lived in Washington State for almost 2 years, and I never made it. Isn't that sad? But that's kind of the thing. It's like, you just think, oh, I can just go next weekend, next weekend, next weekend, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, next weekend doesn't exist. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate the visiting here and talking about your guys' homeschooling experience. Hopefully the listeners got some feedback out of that gives them encouragement to listen to or gain some insight. You feel free to maybe reach out if you'd like. You can reach me at homegrownfam@gmail.com. If you have any specific questions for Jake and Michelle, we can have a reason to bring them back on board with Q&A. That'd be pretty sweet. And then you can also find me on Instagram @homegrownfam. So thank you again, Jake and Michelle, for joining us.
Thank you.